a newly established firm is opening its bank accounts. The bank offers a single business account in which every deposit can be tagged in the accounting software as either the firm's own money or money held for a client. The bookkeeper says it would halve the bank charges. On day one, a client sends £5,000 to fund a purchase. Can it go into the tagged account? No. And not for a technical reason. Tagging entries inside one shared account is not separation, and separation is the whole point. This is Introduction to Solicitors' Accounts. It is the most mechanical topic in the syllabus, and breaches of these rules are among the commonest reasons solicitors face disciplinary action. Keep that new firm in mind. It comes back. Here is the root. Why the rules exist and who they bind. Then, the four core principles. Separation of funds, no banking facilities, prompt payment and reconciliation, and accurate records. Then, double entry bookkeeping, which is the mechanical skill everything else rests on. Then the three books you will be asked about. And last, how the SRA principles sit over all of it. Start with why. Solicitors routinely hold money that is not theirs. Deposits for property purchases, damages on settlement, estate funds, money held in trust. The SRA accounts rules exist to protect that money, so that it stays identifiable and can be returned even if the firm fails. Compliance is not optional. It is a fundamental professional obligation, and the rules bind everyone. Every firm regulated by the SRA that handles client money, however briefly, sole practitioners, high street firms, large city firms, alternative business structures, recognized bodies. Size is no defense, nor is brevity. Money that passes through your client account for an afternoon is still client money. Now, the four core principles, and the first is separation. Client money belongs to clients and must be held in a client account. Office money belongs to the firm and is held in the office account. These must never be mixed. Rule 4, point 1 of the SRA Accounts Rules 2019 requires client money to be kept separate from the firm's own money. Why does it matter so much? Because if the two are mixed, it becomes impossible to say which funds belong to clients. That is fine right up until the firm gets into difficulty, at which point it is catastrophic. Separation is what makes client money identifiable, and identifiable is what makes it returnable, which is why our new firm cannot take the tagged account. Separate ledger entries are not a substitute for separate bank accounts. Separation runs on two tracks: separate bank accounts, client and office, and separate accounting records, client ledgers and office ledgers. Both tracks every time. Second principle: the client account is not a banking facility. You must not use it as a convenience for clients or provide services a bank would normally provide. No standing orders, no regular payments, no holding money for investment, and above all, no allowing the account to go overdrawn. The test is whether there is an underlying legal transaction. The client account exists to safeguard money connected with a legal matter you are actually handling. So, take a former client with no live matter who asks you to hold a large sum for him because it is convenient. He is asking you to breach the rules, however respectable his reasons. Money with no legal purpose does not belong in your client account. Third principle, and it has two limbs: prompt payment and reconciliation. Client money must be paid into the client account promptly, and promptly means without delay. When you owe money to a client or a third party, you pay it out promptly too, when the right to payment arises. Holding money back to help the firm's cash flow is a breach, and a serious one. Then, reconciliation. Rule 8.3 requires client accounts to be reconciled at least every 5 weeks. That means comparing the cash book to the bank statements and to the client ledger balances and checking they agree. At least every 5 weeks, even if nothing moved in that period. Learn the interval as a number because the exam asks for it directly. And treat reconciliation as an early warning system rather than a chore. It is what catches posting errors, unpresented checks, bank errors, and missing entries while they are still small. A discrepancy found at 5 weeks is a correction. The same discrepancy found at the annual audit is a breach with a history.
Fourth principle,
accurate records. Every receipt and payment must be recorded promptly. The records must be comprehensive enough to show each transaction clearly and to let any client's position be established at any time. You keep a cash book, client ledgers, and office ledgers, and you retain bank statements, paying in slips, and check stubs. And you keep them for at least 6 years. That is a number worth carrying because a firm clearing out its strongroom is a favorite exam scenario. Electronic records are fine, provided they are backed up and accessible, and provided they still distinguish clearly between client and office transactions. Now the mechanics, and this is where marks are won and lost. Double entry bookkeeping means every transaction is recorded in at least two accounts. One is debited, one is credited. The system is self-balancing. Total debits must always equal total credits, so if they do not, you have an error. The convention to learn is this. For a bank account, a debit is money in and a credit is money out. For a client ledger, it runs the other way. A credit increases the balance held for that client and a debit reduces it. That inversion is the single commonest beginner error. So let me put it in a sentence you can keep. Money received for a client, debit the client bank, credit the client ledger. Money paid out for a client, credit the client bank, debit the client ledger. Say that twice, and half of this subject is done. Why does the ledger run backwards? Because it is recording a liability, not an asset. The money in the bank is an asset of the firm. The obligation to hand it to the client is a liability, which brings in the accounting equation, assets equal liabilities plus capital. Work it through. You receive client money. The client bank balance, an asset, goes up. Your liability to that client goes up by exactly the same amount. The equation balances. You pay it out, and both sides fall together. It balances again. That is why every transaction needs a debit and a matching credit. Now the three books. First, the cash book, which records every transaction through the firm's bank accounts, client and office alike. It is the central record, the one reconciled to the bank statements. It typically runs columns for date, description, client bank payments and receipts, and office bank payments and receipts. Second, the client ledger. Each client, or each matter, gets its own ledger. Never combine two clients on one page. It records every receipt of that client's money, every payment made on their behalf, every transfer to office for costs earned, and every bill delivered. The running balance is how much of that client's money you are holding right now. Third, the office ledger, and this one confuses people because it is not about client money at all. It tracks costs and disbursements the firm incurs on a client's behalf and whether they have been recovered. Pay a court fee out of the office account and you debit that client's office ledger. Deliver a bill and the credit side records the costs recovered. The balance shows what is still unrecovered. And they work as one system. Take a worked example. You receive £1,000 of client money. Cash book, client bank debit, £1,000 in. Client ledger, credit £1,000. Office ledger, nothing at all, because no cost has been incurred. Then you pay a £300 disbursement. Client bank credit, £300 out. Client ledger debit, £300. And the office ledger takes a debit of £300, recording a cost incurred. Then you transfer £500 to office for costs earned. Client bank credit £500, office bank debit £500, client ledger debit £500, office ledger credit £500. Notice the pattern. A client account transaction always touches the cash book and a client ledger. A transfer to office touches the cash book, the client ledger, and the office ledger. If you can say which records a transaction hits before you work out the debits and credits, you will not get lost. Last, the ethics sitting over all of it. The SRA principles require honesty and integrity, so you are truthful about financial matters and you correct errors promptly rather than concealing them. They require a proper standard of service, so you handle client money competently and keep clients informed about their funds.
They require confidentiality, which covers client ledgers and financial information as much as anything else, including inside the firm. And they require independence, so the firm's own interests never influence how client money is handled. Using client money for the firm's purposes is an ethical breach as well as a rules breach, and it is dealt with separately. A word on how SQE1 tests this. You will not be asked to recall a rule number. You get a scenario, 5 answers, and 1 instruction. Pick the best. This topic has no cases at all, so what you actually need is the mechanics and the numbers, held firmly enough to apply under pressure. If you keep only 3 things. Separation, under Rule 4.1. Client money in a client account, never shared with the firm's own. The convention. Money in debits the client bank and credits the client ledger, and money out reverses it. And the 2 intervals. Reconcile at least every 5 weeks. Retain records at least 6 years. 4 traps. 1. A label is not a separation. Tagging deposits inside a single account, however good the software, does not satisfy the rules. Separate bank accounts and separate records. Any answer option offering a clever single account arrangement is wrong. 2. The client ledger runs the opposite way to the bank. Money in is a debit in the cash book and a credit on the client ledger. Debiting both sides would not balance, which is the giveaway that the reasoning has gone wrong. 3. Convenience is not a legal purpose. Holding money for someone with no live matter or passing funds through the account for an obliging client is providing banking facilities. Ask what underlying legal transaction the money relates to. If there is not one, it does not belong in the client account. 4. Cash flow is never a reason. Delaying a payment out or borrowing from the client account to meet a firm expense is not a technical slip. It goes to honesty and integrity, and it is dealt with as an ethical breach on top of the rules breach. Quick check. A firm acts for a woman buying a flat. She sends £2,000 to cover pre-contract searches. The cashier banks the check in the client account the same morning and enters it in the client bank receipts column of the cash book. The trainee reasons that because a receipt into the bank is a debit in the cash book, her client ledger must be debited with the same sum. Which entry must the firm make on her client ledger? 3 candidates. 1. A credit entry
because a credit to a client ledger increases the money held for that client. 2. A debit entry, because the client bank column of the cash book has been debited with the same sum. 3. No entry, because the receipt is recorded in the cash book alone until the money is spent. Pause here if you want a moment. The answer is 1. Client money received is a liability of the firm. It belongs to her and the firm owes it to her. So the receipt is a debit to the client bank, money in, and a matching credit to her client ledger, which increases the balance held for her to £2,000. Why the others fail? Option 2 is the trainee's error. The debit to the client bank is the other half of the same double entry, not a reason to debit the ledger too. Debiting both sides would not balance. Option 3 forgets that the cash book and the client ledger must both be written up on receipt. 5 things to take away. 1. Separation. Client money lives in a client account, never mixed with the firm's own, and no tagging arrangement substitutes for that. Our new firm could not take the single account. 2. The client account is not a banking facility. No underlying legal transaction means the money should not be there. 3. Promptly in, promptly out, reconcile at least every 5 weeks and keep the records at least 6 years. 4. Money in debits the client bank and credits the client ledger. Money out reverses it, and the office ledger is about costs, not client money. 5. The SRA principles sit over the whole of it, so honesty, competence, confidentiality, and independence all apply to how you handle money. Next time, client money. Practice this topic with exam-style questions at sqe1prep.co.uk. This episode is for education and exam revision only, not legal advice, and we are not affiliated with or endorsed by the SRA or Kaplan.